I have a very special announcement this morning. We are going to continue doing this phone-in fellowship, and at the same time, we will be meeting again in person in our home here in Glendale beginning Sunday, April the 25th. That's 2 weeks from today. But we will still continue making it available for whoever wants to join in via this phone hookup. So anyone is welcome. So that's the big announcement this morning. You know, Christians gather all over the world in church buildings, in homes, other places. There's a number of organizations that utilize the social media for live video streaming. You know, all sorts of different ways. And for us here, as well as some other groups that meet, I'm really very thankful that we are most concerned about what the Bible says. You know, that's our main focal point in doing these, so that we end up with increased understanding of the Scriptures. You know, some people enjoy going places where they have, you know, nice choirs, and, you know, choirs are nice. Musical performances are nice. Big, beautiful buildings are nice. Social events following the service are nice. But what's most important, if we're going to believe God, we need to understand His Word. And as most of you know, there are a number of very logical keys which are necessary to understand the Bible. And if those keys are not known or overlooked or not utilized, well, that's not God's fault. And this morning, we're going to consider something in the Scriptures that's very familiar, but we're going to look at it in light of one of those keys, and in doing that, it really opens our understanding. And I think for the ladies especially, this will be most interesting and enlightening. But first, let's take some time for prayer and manifestations. Well, today is Sunday, April the 11th, 2021, and if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to 1 John, the Epistle of 1 John, chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin this morning. When it comes to understanding the Scriptures, there are a number of very important keys so as to arrive at what God originally communicated. And these keys are laid out and presented very clearly in the foundational Walking in God's Power class. Those keys are all necessary and important if we really want to understand God's Word. One of those important keys is being aware of what we call many times Orientalisms, because the Bible is an Eastern book. It was written by people from a different time and culture than ours. And God told them what to write in their vocabulary, including their customs, their culture, their idioms, and so forth. And so we begin this morning in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All of us who are born again, we are sons of God. And I think for most of us, those are familiar verses. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Those words, the adoption of children, are one word in the Greek, and it literally means to be placed as a son. And there's only two ways that you can be placed as a son, either by adoption or by birth. And since the context here is talking about those who are born again, it's best understood as sonship. So it would be having predestinated us unto sonship by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us unto sonship by Jesus Christ. Just like it said in 1 John 3, we are sons of God. And if you'd back up and look at Romans chapter 8, and in verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Father, Father. The words of adoption are that same Greek word as we just saw in Ephesians, meaning to be placed as a son. And again, we are sons of God by birth. And let's remember whose idea this all was, right? This wasn't our idea, right? It was God. We saw that in Ephesians. You know, his good pleasure. This is what he determined. God decided and determined that those who confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead are saved. And in doing that, we learn from the scriptures that we are born again ones, born from above. And God is now our Father, and we are now his sons. That relationship is what God wanted, what God desired, what God determined. In the Old Testament, God chose Abraham and his descendants to be his people. And the relationship for them was that of servants of God. And again, that's God's idea. That's what God wanted to do because, you know, God's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's almighty. And all of his creation is his creation, you know. He's God Almighty. And so for his people in the Old Testament, that was his decision. And his people in the Old Testament, they didn't have a father-son relationship with God or a relationship of they being his friends or his partners. They were servants, and they served God Almighty by worshiping him as the one true God and him alone, obeying him, following what he said, and he would be their God. He would provide and protect them. But God had even bigger plans. Remember when Jesus Christ was speaking to Nicodemus? I believe that's in John chapter 4. And he talked to Nicodemus about two births. The first birth, the natural birth, being born of water, and the new birth, being born from above or born of spirit. And Jesus told Nicodemus, except a person is born again or born from above, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So for us, it is by birth we are literally sons of God. So look back there at 1 John where we started. Let's just read those again. And in 1 John chapter 3 again, familiar. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. And it says sons. Why does it say sons and not sons and daughters? Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. This is really wonderful to look at and to gain some understanding of why it says sons. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father, Father. Now, verse 5, where it says the adoption of sons, those words are again that same Greek word that we've looked at in Ephesians and in Romans, and it means to be placed as a son. And once again, it's by birth, so it would read, that we might receive sonship. When a person gets born again, they receive God's Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, right? No matter who you are, we all get the same Spirit, the Bible says. Old or young, rich or poor, male or female, bond or free, we all have the same Spirit with the same potential abilities. And once again, so we're reading here, it says sonship. And I have at times wondered if that might be a little uncomfortable or maybe even awkward for the ladies to read sons instead of sons and daughters. And perhaps at times both men and women might read those verses that say sons and, you know, maybe just insert or think children. Yes, indeed, we are children. God indeed is our Father, and by birth we are his children. But there's a deeper truth here, a very deep truth, and it's understood by understanding the culture in which the Bible was written. The relationship that God set up for those who are born again ones, for all his children, male or female, the relationship is a father-son relationship. And that relationship has to be understood in light of biblical culture, not our culture. We can't insert our culture into the Bible and get an accurate meaning. So what was the father-son relationship like in that culture? Basically, in their culture, for families in that culture, a son would serve the father. You know, that's different than our culture. A lot of times, you know, our kids grow up and, you know, if dad's a fireman, then a lot of times the son, I want to go be an electrician, you know. Not so in Bible times. The son would serve the father. A son worked with the father in the family's affairs for the common good of the entire family. And that was not the case for daughters in that culture. Now, we are all by birth, the new birth, being born again, we are all one in Christ, male and female, right? But each one of us, male or female, each one of us has that very esteemed father-son relationship according to biblical culture. Wow, talk about equal rights for women. In the Bible culture, the sons were the heirs. They served the father in the father's affairs. Every born-again one is elevated to the position of having a father-son relationship, the father being God Almighty. That's why we're all heirs. You know, in biblical culture, the sons were the heirs. We as children of God, regardless of being male or female, we are all heirs of God because God has elevated each one of us to the position of being sons, according to biblical culture. And really, understanding that, you know, in light of the biblical culture, it's huge. In the Old Testament, the relationship they had was that of a servant. And as servants, they served God. They obeyed God as a good servant would. And we also have to understand the role of servants according to biblical culture, right? And we can read about that in the scriptures. They served God as servants would serve in that culture, but not in the position of sons. And isn't it remarkable? God's the one who decided that all of us, every born-again one, male or female, would have such an elevated position as having a relationship with God as a father-son relationship. And seeing that from the biblical perspective, we can understand what a father-son relationship means. One who is working with and for the father's interests. In Bible culture, a son served his father. He served the father's interests. And as such, in biblical culture, a son was not exempt from serving. You know, just didn't goof off all day long, play golf all day long. No, the son served the father. And as you read the Gospels, you see God's only begotten son serving his father. Remember, I believe it is it in Luke? I can't remember if it's in Luke, but the very first recorded words of Jesus Christ, he was a young, he's like 12 or 13 years old, and, you know, he stayed behind in Jerusalem and wasn't with the caravan, and you know, Joseph and Mary had to come back and try to find him. How was it you sought me? He said, did you not know I must be about my father's business? Why? Because he was a son. And later, as he ministered to people, he said, I always do those things that please him, his father. When he was praying in the garden before he was arrested, when he prayed to his father, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. A son in that culture did his father's will. Servants in the Bible times served their master. They did the master's will, not their own. And sons in the Bible times served their father. They did the father's will, not their own. And so you and I, as born-again ones, God's word tells us that we are sons of God. And as such, we ought to be about our father's business, right? Look at Mark chapter 6, if you would. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 6. He was teaching them about prayer. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. After this manner, pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, Jesus Christ is the one who introduced the concept of God being our Father. They didn't pray like this in the Old Testament. When you read their prayers in the Old Testament, they prayed, O Lord God of heaven, O Lord God of Israel, O Lord God. Their relationship, God's people Israel, their relationship was a master-servant relationship. But Jesus Christ introduced the concept of God being our Father. Jesus Christ, on occasions you read in the Gospels, prayed to the Father. He taught and spoke about God as Father. And here in teaching them how to pray, he said, pray after this manner, our Father, who art in heaven. You know, he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Such reverence for the Father. And then verse 10, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Praying about our Father's will to be done. And then, of course, then after that, then, you know, our petitions. Give us this day our daily bread. In Bible culture, it was normal for a son to work and to serve their fathers. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writing to the believers there at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, but I trust in the Lord, Jesus, to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, of Timothy, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. And again, we can't put our culture into what we read in the Bible. It says, as a son with the Father. Timothy, Paul is saying, was like a son. He was like a son in that culture who served his father. And so Timothy served Paul just like a son would serve a father. You know, and Paul mentioned that everybody else wanted to do their own thing. You know, what do you say? All seek their own. So, for the ladies, when you read in the Bible that as a born-again one, you are a son, understanding the biblical culture, how much more special could God make you to be? You are his dear child, and nothing can separate you from his love. And at the same time, he has given you the esteemed status of a father-son relationship. Not a servant, but a son and heir. And really, that's true for all of us, right? Male or female. We are all his dear children, and we all have that father-son relationship with God Almighty. And as such, we can choose to be about our Father's business. Look at Galatians. Back up just a bit. Galatians chapter 4. We looked at this a minute ago, but I wanted to read the next verse that we didn't read. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive sonship. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We need to understand verse 7 in light of relationship. We can read numerous places in the Bible and see servants serving their masters. We can also read and see sons serving their fathers. Our relationship with God is not a master-servant relationship. That's why it says, wherefore thou art no more a servant. Relationship. We are no more servants, but we are sons. So we have a father-son relationship. And when you think about service or serving, service is service whether it's done by a servant or by a son. But understanding the biblical culture, as sons of God, we can serve our Father in a greater and richer capacity than that of a servant. You know, you can read where Paul referred to himself as a servant of God. In what capacity? As a son serves the Father. Having a father-son relationship, we have a greater relationship with God than the master-servant relationship they had in the Old Testament. And so it would certainly seem logical that our service would be of an even greater capacity. So what does that look like? You know, what does that service look like? I mean, are we supposed to just go on the corner with our Bibles and read God's Word and preach God's Word all day long on the corner? If we're going to serve our Father as a son would serve, well, first of all, it'd be a really good idea to know what Father said, know his will, know what his business is all about, right? We need to know what the Father said if we're going to serve him. And so that's why we read and understand his words and then obey his words, do his will. And I mean, just to keep it really simple, God, our Father, has spoken to us, his sons, in his word. And he said, we ought to provide things honest in the sight of all men. Well, if we obey him and do that, we are serving our Father's interests. We're doing his will, right? Our Father told us to put away lying and speak truth to one another. And so we obey. That's what we do. And in doing that, are we not serving our Father, following Him? Are we not about our Father's business in doing that? Our Father said we are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So that's what we do, because we're endeavoring to do the Father's will. Our Father's told us that we should not use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. One another. Who's one another? His family, the family interest, our Father's family interest, right? So in doing that, serving one another, we are serving our Father's interests. We're doing His will. And speaking of serving our Father's family, last month I taught a teaching called Love and Service. And back in September, I taught a teaching called Patience. Those teachings are available to listen to on my website. Really good to review in light of serving one another, serving in our Father's family. And so it all starts with understanding our Father's words. We read, we understand, we believe, and we obey. And, of course, we make time to pray, to talk to our Father. And then if Father communicates something to us that He wants us to do, well, then we're already in the habit of listening and obeying His words. And then we can carry out what our Father wants us to do. Let's close where we started in 1 John chapter 3. You know, looking at God's words with an understanding of the culture in which it was written, it really opens our eyes, doesn't it? What a great privilege it is to have a father-son relationship with God Almighty. 1 John 3:1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now, right now, today, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Almighty God, our wonderful Heavenly Father, what an awesome privilege it is for us to have that wonderful Father-Son relationship with You. We thank You this morning for all that You have given to us, made available to us, all because of the completed work of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for having given us Your word that we could understand what Your will is, and that we could serve You, that we could walk with You, that we could talk with You, and that we could, Father, be so blessed having the great privilege of a wonderful relationship with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Father, how blessed we are. We pray, Father, and ask You to help us, to lead us, to guide us. Father, may we all have a wonderful week enjoying that wonderful relationship with You as our Father. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. And in case you joined us late, I made an announcement at the beginning. We're going to continue doing this phone-in fellowship at the same time. We're going to be meeting again in person in our home here in Glendale beginning Sunday, April the 25th. That's 2 weeks from today. But we'll still continue making this phone-in fellowship available for whoever wants to join in. Same number, same time. Feel free to pass the number along if you like. We're going to be back here next Sunday. Until then, have a blessed week. I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.